Alrighty. You guys are really brave. I realise this is the dead hour. As in, you just all want to have a little ziz and stuff like that. And that's fine. All I ask is if you do snore, please snore with silent mode on. Okay? That would just be appreciated. And it'd stop a lot of embarrassment from your wife. Yeah, I was going to tell a little story from home then, but I won't. No. But I will tell you this other story. This morning we talked about, what your spiritual, or why, what makes you spiritually attractive. And I trust you had a good time connecting with God, as it was just a glorious day. And when I was walking back to my unit, there were a couple of guys sprawled out on the sports field there. I assume they were connecting with God, not with nature like this, but that was cool. And it's good that you had time out. And I never underestimate the power of taking time out, because we lead incredibly busy lives. We're on the go all week, and our weekends are busy, and because we just go all the time, which we're still going to talk about, never underestimate the value of taking time out with God. Just taking time out to go and sit at the beach. I guess you have beaches in Wellington. Sit at the beach or in the bush or whatever, and just take your Bible and just read a couple of Psalms, and not go with an agenda or a program or anything like that. Just take time to be in the presence of God. I know you do that when you get together on a Sunday morning and at various events during the week, but just take time to stop, breathe, and appreciate and just press into God and just take time out to spend quality time with Him, without the kids, without the phone, without all the distractions that are around. And I guarantee that you will benefit from it. You know, this morning we talked about if you truly are, and I'm not saying you're not, please don't fear, but if you truly are a church family that is so in love with each other, you know what I mean, in love with each other and in love with Jesus, and you're in love with your community and you want to make a difference and stuff like that, one of the ramifications of that mindset, of that being your DNA, will be that change will happen. That's a foregone conclusion. You do that and change will happen. If we get together, say, 3 years from now, and you guys are all exactly the same as what you are now. Church is exactly the same as what you are now. The numbers in your church are exactly the same, apart from natural, growth and stuff like that. Then something is tragically wrong. Change means growth. And if you're not growing, you're dying. There's no in-between. There's no sitting on the fence. However, change is really uncomfortable. And I myself do still, and I did for a while, really struggle with change. I'm not saying I'm a control freak, but I am the one that controls the remote control at home for the TV. Okay? Amen. Okay, I'm not the one who's a control freak, but I like to see our calendar and I know what's happening in the week ahead and stuff like that. Okay? I just like to know what's happening. I'm not a control freak. I just like to know what's happening. A while ago, I destroyed our vacuum cleaner. Now, just so you know, we'll backtrack a bit. I'm not a practical person. What was that? No, actually, no, I destroyed it, yeah.
Congratulations.
No. Well, I'm. You know that TV ad, that Mitre 10 TV ad, and there's those two guys leaning on the fence post. One's a big, burly guy with a beard and saying, you can be the type of guy that fixes everything and all that sort of. And then there's this weedy little pale guy leaning on this side of the fence and saying, you have to get someone else to do it and stuff like that. I'm that guy. Okay? Not necessarily the weedy guy, but I'm that sort of guy. Okay? Just get someone else to do it. I'm so impractical. When we first bought our house, we had this little unit at Mount Maunganui, and my wife, God bless her, who comes from a family of DIYers and practical people, brought me an electric drill. And this is fine. And I was going to put, so we just bought our first house, and I was going to put some shelves up on this wall. And I got an electric drill. I'm not a tool person, but this was really cool, okay? Electric drill, awesome. So I am there in this room drilling away, and for the life of me, I'm just not getting it. I'm thinking, and it's getting all hot and steamy. I'm thinking, hope it's under warranty because I've just killed it. I had it on reverse. Okay, I'm not a practical person. So back to the vacuum cleaner. The vacuum cleaner died. Well, I thought it had died. It just wasn't. It wasn't right. So I said, "Look, I'll fix it. I'll fix it. You can YouTube it." Although YouTube wasn't really around those days, but you can YouTube. You can fix anything now. So I got my drill, my one tool, and the spring comes. You know how the spring that gets the electric cord back in. You know, it goes this, and the spring is like this, and then that's it. So in an absolute moment of romantic being that I am, I bought my wife a new vacuum cleaner. I know, it just oozed romance. This was a really good one. This was a real grunty one. Anyway, so that was cool. And later on that week, I'm not quite sure how it happened, but just for her to say, "John, I just appreciate you so much. You're just an incredible husband." These are her words, exact words. "You're just an incredible husband. I would just be totally lost without you. And so I'm going to take you out Friday night." So she took me out Friday night, and she took me to the ballet. Okay? That's okay. I'm a cultured person. I'm cultured. Okay? And so we're going to the ballet, and we're going to see Pinocchio. And I'm thinking, this is cool. This is great. I love Pinocchio. I know the story because, another little story here, about 10 years before that, she was again trying to introduce me to culture and said, "Come on, John, I'll take you to Cats and see the stage musical Cats." So we went to Cats. I absolutely hated it. I wish someone to just shut up, stop singing and say something. I had no idea what the storyline was and all that. So I'm not really into musicals in a big way. Anyway, so we're going to Pinocchio and I'm thinking, this is great. I know the story of Pinocchio and all this sort of stuff. And I'm looking there and I'm thinking, they're prancing around doing their thing. Loved it. It was really cool. But I'm thinking, this isn't right. This isn't the Pinocchio I knew. Perhaps I had the rated version or the version that they didn't play in kindergarten. Or no, this is not Pinocchio and stuff like that. And then by the time half time comes, and I'm thinking, something's really, really wrong here. And everyone else is saying, "Oh, isn't it lovely? Isn't it wonderful?" And I'm thinking, I can't see no Geppetto. I can't see no Pinocchio. I can't see no Jiminy Cricket. Something's really, really wrong here. And so again, me being the control freak that I'm not, was really struggling because I'm thinking, this is not Pinocchio. And it worked out. So I was looking through the program, and then I realized that I should have read the program beforehand, because the first half that I had just seen was actually just highlights of previous ballets that they had done. It wasn't Pinocchio at all. It wasn't until the second half. And once I knew that, oh, okay, I was back in control, I was back in the zone, and Pinocchio loved it, saw everything and all that sort of stuff. Just wonderful. But some of us struggle with change. Some of us struggle with not being in control. If you have your Bibles, can you turn to Malachi chapter 3, please? Malachi chapter 3. Starting at verse 6, and it says this: "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Because the whole bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord, yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God, but what did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed, Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. But those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. God, at the end of the Old Testament, with all the changes and the constant cycle of breaking and restoring, breaking and restoring, breaking and restoring relationship with the people of Israel, he says to them, look guys, regardless of everything that you have done, everything that you have been through, every sin that you have committed, I, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who brought you out of Egypt, the God who established you as a nation, I, your God, the Lord, I do not change. But we live in a world that is constantly changing. Incredible changes have taken place in the past 100 years. We're experiencing more change than ever in our history. The rate of change is so great that we barely catch our breath before another blast of change slams into us. Everything we're familiar with is changing. We are forever on the move, doing things, working, building, growing. The pace is somewhere between maddening and insane. People are coming and going 24 hours every day. Someone once said, faces reflect the tension. The air is polluted, the earth shakes, the shops are crowded, the nerves are shot, the streets are dangerous. That is the community. That is the world. That is the city. That is the neighborhood that God in his wisdom, that God in his great big plan has given to the Anchor Community Church to be involved in, the community for them to be involved in. That is the community that you are responsible for. Change is a constant compassion in our fast-paced lives. The other day, last Wednesday I think it was, I was at a fellowship called Orthorpe Christian Fellowship. And there was a gentleman there, and he was 95 years old. And he was talking to me, or he was, you know, we were just having a conversation. And then I just thought, you know, how he was getting on. And then it came, oh, how are you driving? Are you still driving or what? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm still driving. Not a problem. And then the guy sitting next to him says, yes, but he's a terrible driver. But I get my license every year. Apparently, when you're that age, you have to get your license every year. But I get my license every year, so it's not a problem. And as long as I keep up with the road rules, you know, I'm up with all the changes and all that, it's not a problem at all. But you're dangerous on the road. I haven't had an accident, but everyone keeps honking at you. I hate going driving with you. I hate you taking me to town or taking me to, or bring me to church, because everyone is always honking at you. You're always on the wrong side, or you're, you know, backing into letterboxes or something. And I said to him, so, well, if everyone's honking at you, don't you hear them? He goes, no, I just take my hearing aids out. But he was talking about change. And he gave me this. He says this. We have bigger houses, but smaller families. More convenience, but less time. More degrees, but less common sense. More knowledge, but less judgment. More experts, but bigger problems. More medicine, but less good health. We spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get angry too quickly. We stay up too late. We read too little. We watch TV too much and are less considerate. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too little, and lie too often. We have learned how to make a living but not how to make a life. We have added years to our life, but not life to our years. with much thought for our bodies and little thought for our souls. We have taller buildings, but shorter tempers. Wider roads, but narrower viewpoints. We spend more, but have less. We buy more, but enjoy less. We have been all the way to the moon and back, but can't safely cross the road. We have conquered outer space, but not our inner lives. We have split the atom, but can't resolve our prejudices. We write more and learn less, plan more and accomplish less. We have learned to rush, but not to wait. We have higher incomes, but lower morals. We build more computers to hold more information, to print more copies, but have less personal communication. We are long on quantity, but short on quality. These are times of fast foods and slow digestion, tall men and short character, more leisure, but less fun, more kinds of food, but less nutrition, two incomes, but more divorce, nicer houses, but broken homes. Pretty bleak when you think about it. It's quite depressing, isn't it? After you've probably fallen asleep going, oh, there's not really nice. Going to bed. Going to sleep. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. Unfortunately, that is a whole lot of those things are the concepts and mindsets that your neighbours, that your community are having to deal with. Unfortunately, it might even be people within your own church family that are struggling with those sorts of things. Your mission statement or purpose statement as a church is together, transforming people into devoted, passionate ambassadors for Christ. And so you can see why change has to happen and change will happen when you try and do that in the world in which we live in. Every week in New Zealand, 4,000 of us move to a different home. 90% of all the items in the supermarket today did not exist 10 years ago. It is estimated that 50% of college leavers are going into jobs which did not exist when they were born. We live in a changing world. New Zealand is a multicultural society. Now I'm about to say something. I should wear a crash helmet. I'm about to say something. I wish I had a crash helmet to protect my head. I'm about to say something, but I ask you, don't throw anything at me yet until you hear the end. Okay? Don't jump to conclusions and pick up a chair and throw anything at me and think, John, that is so wrong, until I get to the end. But let me read you this. Your responsibility, our responsibility as a church, is to ensure that we change with the world. Not what we do, but how we do it. Or not why we do it, but how we do it. The principles that the Anchor Church were founded on and still adheres to are non-negotiable. But the way you do things are. Changes are taking place in every area of our lives all the time. And as you become and continue to grow to be the loving, dynamic church that you so desperately want to be and you're passionately striving to be, it will change. The anchor will change. As you endeavor to be spiritually attractive, you will attract people from all backgrounds and cultures. And it could be even something small, like you may have someone come and sit in your seat on a Sunday morning that has never been to the anchor before. But you have sat in that seat for the last 17 years. Malachi 3:6 reminds us, I, the Lord, do not change. And in order to manage or live through, to cope or embrace change, I ask you to remember these four things. Firstly, the word is, I've done L, okay, so you can remember. Okay, love. The first mistake most people make during change is to focus on what they've lost. That's always been my chair. My grandfather made that chair. We have been gracing the presence on that chair, on that pew, on that form, whatever the case may be, for the last 280 years. The first mistake people make during change is to focus on what they've lost instead of what has been gained. That creates fear. Instead of, something's changing. Isn't it fantastic to have all these new people at church? Isn't it fantastic to be a church that has open arms and our community is just striving and is just moving in great numbers? Why? Because there's something special happening here. God in his wisdom, God in his big plan, have anointed us to be a light, a beacon of hope in our community at this point in time. The antidote of fear is love. John, 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Someone once said, it is impossible for love and fear to exist in the same environment. If we'll focus on loving each other, then we'll break out of the self-centeredness that often emerges during change. The love that conquers fear involves thinking about others instead of focusing on your own needs. And the more you love, the less you fear. The next one. James 1:19 says this. We must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And during times of great change, especially in our churches, especially when we've been together and we've been a nice family, we've grown up together, our kids have grown up together, our grandkids all come along because all the kids have got married and have kids and stuff like that, you know, and it's all just very nice, and all of a sudden you're going to get invaded by a whole lot of other people. So here, James is saying, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If we get the first two right, quick listening and slow speaking, then the third, slow anger, will become automatic. It reflects the concept of seeking to understand before trying to be understood. Well, that is more important, to seek to understand than to try to be understood. Thirdly, level with each other. We must speak the truth in love to each other if we're going to walk together through change. It is human nature to avoid confronting someone directly. Well, with most people, it is. Some people it's not. To avoid confronting someone directly. But then we fall into problems, even gossip, by talking to other people about the person we need to confront. We can't get close to each other until we deal honestly with our fundamental differences. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And lastly, this one's a bit different. One of the things that I so enjoy about my role at International Needs is I have a license, for want of a better word, to try new things. To try new ways of communicating with people, to try new ways of gaining sponsors, to try new ways to broker relationships between churches in New Zealand and national workers overseas. And this is where change becomes really difficult for a lot of people. You as a church family need to say to your leadership teams, whether they be ministry leaders, your elders, your staff and all that, and say, guys, or girls, you know what I mean by guys, you have our support all the way. We firmly believe that you are God anointed, God appointed to be the leaders of our church at this particular point in time. this incredible, fantastic adventure, this journey that we are on. You are our leaders. And we will back you and we will support you and we will pray for you every step of the way. We will laugh with you when something funny happens. We will cry with you when something sad happens. We will rejoice with you when something successful happens. But we will back you all the way. And I know when I was pastoring for 12 years. And I loved it. I enjoyed what I did. But you know what I really thrived on was when someone came to me or someone said to me or sent me a note or something like that. Says, John, I'm not quite sure where we're going with this, but you have my backing all the way. John, this change, this direction, it's a bit different to what I'm used to, but I will support you. Or even better, they would come and say, you know what, this is sort of out of my comfort zone. What can I do to help you achieve these goals? And unfortunately, when it comes to leadership and things like that, we get so much negative stuff. What are you doing this for? Why are you doing that? Da, da, da. Instead of people saying, you know what? The baton has been passed to this next generation. I've been involved for 50 years in this church, in this group of people, and that's fine. But the baton has been passed, and I am going to support you guys in this next chapter, whatever that chapter is. We need to show each other grace, to cut each other some slack during change, during transition. Liberating each other means letting go and treating someone else the same way Jesus treats you. In other words, people will make mistakes. And our responses should be to recognize that these things will happen. In a world that changes, people often make mistakes. Because we're not quite sure what's happening and just different responses and things like that. And you know what? That's okay. I look at it this way, and it used to annoy some people. It was like, we would try something and it didn't work. And you get a group of people saying, oh, John, that was terrible. It didn't work. Da, 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 da. And go on and on and on and on and on. And you sort of go on and on, yeah, whatever like that. And then the whole big scheme of things. But just remember, is God still on his throne? Yep. The world is still turning? Yep. Jesus still loves you? Yep. That's all right then. Let's just get on to the next chapter, whatever that chapter is. Sometimes we can be so paralyzed by the various responses that we're going to get from people. The goal is not to make those who make mistakes feel bad. When your leadership, or anyone for that matter, makes a mistake, encourage them to keep moving forward. Don't judge or rubbish them. They're your leaders, God appointed and God anointed. If someone comes up with a crazy, out on the edge idea for ministry, encourage them. Think, wow, we've never done that before. Does it fit in with our whole passion of what we're trying to do? Yes, it does. Okay, this is really cool. How can I help you? How can I be of assistance to help you bring this change about? And ask the question, especially if it's a younger person, ask the question, what's the benefit of this change? Why do we need to change? Who's going to be affected by this change? And they will just so appreciate you taking time out to mentor them through this process. Focus on what's important. Focus on the big picture. What is the purpose and passion of the Anchor Church? Transforming people into devoted ambassadors for Christ. Like I said this morning, church is, I have this philosophy in life that church should be enjoyed, not endured. By that, I mean that church should be the type of place that regardless of what you have happened during the week, you should be able to go there and you sit there and you go, I'm with family, I'm with friends, I'm valued, treasured and loved. And I love being here, I love being with these people. And if that's your concept, it's going to get very, very dangerous because that will become part of the way that you think, the way that you talk to your neighbours, your friends, the way that you talk to your mothers that come to Mainly Music, the way that you talk to parents of youth group kids that don't come to church at the present and all that, and they're going to see that. And when that happens, you're going to get a whole lot of people that are starting to come into your church through the doors, which are fantastic, that aren't going to be like you. And it's just a matter of time before that happens. Through your Mainly Music, you are doing something with all these kids, multicultural, it's really cool. And then you decide, look, we're going to have a special event for families. We're going to have a family camp. And so we're going to go to family camp. And then all of a sudden, you realize you get a registration form from a Muslim family. One husband, two wives. What's your response going to be? What are you going to do? You're going to just go, no, declined? You, through various things that you're doing in the community and stuff, and you're going to have a marriage enrichment weekend or a marriage enrichment event, and this is going to be good, and you get someone to come along and talk about marriage and how to strengthen your marriage and tools to survive your marriage and all this sort of stuff. It's going to be really, really cool. And then these people will register, and then this couple turn up, and you realize it's a she and a she. What's your response going to be? Are you a loving church that's just fine for your little group on a Sunday morning and the little things that you do, and then as soon as something from outside in the real world invades your world, what's your response going to be? And you need to start having these conversations now, because it's not a matter of if it happens, it will be a matter of when it happens. Church, is it a place of peace, of love, of acceptance, of encouragement? How can you fulfill this mission? How can you be that all God wants you to be in your church and in your community? This morning we asked the question, what makes you spiritually attractive? Today, or this afternoon, I want to ask you the question. God uses ordinary people totally committed to Him to make a difference in a changing world. One person can make a difference in the Whitby community. Will that person be you? If not, why not? And tomorrow morning when we get together for our final session, it's going to be a time of we looked at what makes you spiritually attractive. Are you the person that's going to make a difference? And then tomorrow, and we've been talking about it with some, I can't remember who I was having a conversation with earlier on today, sorry. And we were talking about the fact that we expect someone else to do this role or someone else to do that role. And it's about working as a team. Jocelyn and I have been involved in ministry, churches, what have you, for 25 years, give or take, whether it be Christian camping or pastoring and stuff like that. And we have totally enjoyed our 24 hours so far with you. You truly are a very welcoming, loving and friendly church. And that is really, really cool. And that is really, really rare. It's just a matter of time, if it hasn't already, before that leaks out into the wider community. So change will happen. It's part of growing. It's part of being who you are. You've just got to try and figure out, are we going to embrace it? Or are we going to become a little exclusive group? Let me pray, and then we'll just ask if anyone's got any questions. We can go from there. Father, you are an incredible God. To think that you love each and every single one of us, regardless of our background, of our baggage, of our history, we are still special and valued to you, and we thank you for that. Father, I just really want to say thank you for this group here, this community of faith, this group of people that call themselves the Anchor Church, and you call them your children. And regardless of what happens in our world, they are your children, and you want the best for them. You want them to grow and to impact and to influence their community, and they want to do that for you. Father, give them as a church leadership, the encouragement, the desire, the challenge, the wisdom of what is needed to fulfill that commission, to fulfill their passion of growing people for you. And so for your goodness to us, for this time together this afternoon, we just really want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, just before I finish, anyone got any questions? Something I've said so far that you don't agree with? That you think, John, you're so on a foreign planet. That, John, that might be okay in Tauranga, but we live in Wellington. John, what model vacuum cleaner did you buy your wife? Sorry? Oh, no. Yes, yes.
Should we change just for change's sake, though? Just, change is inevitable, yes, but do we need to embrace it just because it's change?
Did you guys hear that? Do we need to embrace change just because it's change? Like you said, change is inevitable. Change happens. It's how you respond to that change. There are some things that are changing that goes through that become law or something like that that aren't right. You don't have to change for that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? There are some things, and like your basic principles and foundational things of what the Anchor Church is built on, they are non-negotiable. They are not changeable. But it's the way you know, if you always have done church services this particular way, that might have been, and I don't know what you do, so please don't think of anything, but that might have been fine 20 years ago, but it's now 2016. You know, things are different. People are different. Do you still do the same? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I just think sometimes someone comes up with an idea and we feel obliged to try it just because we haven't tried it before. But is that necessarily necessary?
It really depends on the idea and what it is. Do you try everything that comes up? No. Because, again, one of the beautiful things about, New Zealand is that each community is quite unique. Okay, and some things might happen in another church, three suburbs over. Man, that is so good. But it wouldn't work in our church. So you don't change just because someone else is doing it. You know what you're trying to do. I guess the other thing is, don't try and do everything. Okay? People need to focus on, man, we are really good at reaching youth. So let's really concentrate on that. We are really good at reaching older folk. So let's really and do that really, really well. You know, because there'll be other churches that pick up other things like that. If I'm saying something that you're thinking, John, shut up, just tell me, okay? Okay. No, I know. But is that what it is? But it's like the iPad. Yeah, I don't know if you heard that thing. There was an older guy, and he said to the daughter, look, can you give me a roll of newspaper? Dad, no one reads newspapers now. We don't have, if we want anything, we use the iPad now. It's fine. And then he goes, oh, okay. Thump. Yep. That fly never knew what hit him. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Where am I?
Someone else? I've got the microphone if people want to. Sorry? Shall we sing?
Okay, it's easy to do it this way. Thanks, John, for the challenge. John works for International Needs and a couple of people have asked me, well, what does international needs do? They just eat, drink donuts and eat donuts and have coffee
only.
Mostly. Sorry?
Hey. If only.
Hey, I'm talking now. Okay. No, you're finished. All right, so John has just asked if he could have a place to put some brochures and things like that. So in the chapel, not the chapel, in the dining room over the other side where all the tables are stacked, John will just have some information there. Please.